From the Motor City, Detroit, my old hometown, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Open lines later tonight. We're broadcasting live from the General Motors OnStar Studios here in downtown Detroit. Boy, looking outside the window, yeah, I can see Windsor, Canada. They have built that city up. And, of course, the Detroit River looks high right now, actually. Looks higher than I remember it. And special thanks, by the way, to those at OnStar who helped put this broadcast on for us tonight. Katie Scalin and Dan Patone and also Gina Salvati back in our coast-to-coast offices. Thanks to all of you, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser as well. Interesting, though, to be here. General Motors OnStar Studios with just a great facility here. And I see people running around handling OnStar calls and things like that. People in emergencies all around this country, and they're taking care of them. But it's almost certainty now that on Monday, General Motors is beginning to reinvent. They plan to file bankruptcy, planning to retool one factory to make its smallest vehicles ever in the U.S. and to rid itself of some of the biggest. As GM's board began 2 days of meetings on Friday to make a final decision on the company's fate, its main union, the UAW, overwhelmingly approved dramatic labor costs. GM's finance minister, by the way, said a plan has been approved for a Canadian auto parts maker, Magna International, to rescue GM's European Opel unit and a deal to sell GM's rugged but somehow inefficient Hummer brand also appeared on the horizon. The move provides more clues about what a restructured GM might look like ahead of the expected Chapter 11 filing on Monday. Taxpayers will eventually own nearly three-quarters of a leaner GM and a total government commitment of nearly $50 billion. And let's hope for GM and all the workers and everybody involved that they pull themselves out of this over the next few years and get back to where they used to be. It'll never be exactly that, but at least get it back in some position. Stocks, by the way, ended a choppy session higher after a late session rally pushed the major indexes to their biggest three-month run since 2007. But here we go. Gasoline prices on the way back up again. Oil and gasoline continuing a recession-defying march higher, doubling now in the past 6 months, largely on optimism of a strengthening economy, even though it doesn't appear to be strengthening. But the price of oil has more than doubled now to around $66.31 a barrel. Pravda. Now, this is Russia's newspaper. Look, listen to what they're saying about us. They're saying America's descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed against the backdrop of a passive, hapless sheeple. Excuse me, reader. I mean people. They're talking about us. Then they went on to talk about what happened in Russia, how Marxists took them over, and how they fought back. They're saying the same thing is happening here. Phil Spector, sentenced Friday to 19 years to life in prison for the murder of actress Lana Clarkson. She was shot through the mouth in the music producer's home 6 years ago. Spector is 69 years old. He looked straightforward. He showed no emotion as the Superior Court judge ordered a term of 15 years to life for second-degree murder plus another 4 years for personal use of a gun. Well, there's a zoo full of critters living on your skin, a bacterial zoo. Now, before you panic, some scientists are saying, hey, healthy skin is a home to a much wider variety of bacteria than they ever knew, but they say it's not such a bad thing after all. As a matter of fact, they say bacteria on your skin helps to keep some dangerous bacteria from entering your bloodstream. Well, that's not a bad idea. In a moment, Gary Spivey joins us. Secrets from God, Your Keys to Heaven. That's one of his work. But he's a world-renowned psychic. He's got an incredible ability to future look into the crystal ball of life and talk about catastrophes and events. We'll be back in a moment with Gary Spivey on Coast to Coast AM. Gary Spivey, world-renowned for his psychic talent, uncanny ability to predict future catastrophic events, which have earned him the nickname of the modern-day Nostradamus, his gift to communicate with those on the other side as well, sees things in other dimensions. Now, this was discovered at an age of 7. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. Gary, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, George. How are you?
Wonderful. Not bad. I'm here in Detroit overlooking the lovely Detroit River, and they've cleaned this place up. I mean, it's a rough time for the city because of the automobile industry, but it's still a gorgeous town.
It's a beautiful city. I mean, the people there are incredible.
You've been working on something called Energy Block. Tell me about that as we get into this.
Well, you know, I would do shows from being so psychic from you know, since an early age as a kid. I ended up on radio shows and TV shows and stuff, and live seminars, and I would always see things, and people would freak out because I could do it pretty much all the time. And I noticed that sometimes I could do it really well, and sometimes I could do it kind of as well as I could before. And I'm thinking, well, why is that? And then I realized there were energy blocks that were blocking the information, the spiritual information that I was getting directly from heaven. And so then I figured out how to see in these dimensions and get spiritual gifts to get rid of these dark energies. And then I realized these dark energies actually blocked everybody all the time. And if I showed other people how to get rid of these blocks, they became incredibly psychic as well.
What was the cause of the blocks, Gary? How were they occurring?
Well, it depends on what dimension. You know, George, it has to do with everybody has, I believe, 10 dimensions between your head and heaven. The first dimension is Earth. And that's what my book talks about. And the first dimension is the Earth dimension, where we all walk around and live every day. And the 10th dimension is heaven, and that's where God lives and our loved ones on the other side. And that's where I go to when I'm talking to them for people and channeling people, and that's where angels live and all that. And then there's 8 dimensions in between where you can be screwed up in. And so in these dimensions, you can have different types of blocks, and the blocks are really simple. About 90% of the time, it's a demon block. Demons exist. And
there's no question that they do exist.
Yes, and there's different types of demons, and they have different looks. And as I could see them clearly, you'll have one demon that actually has knives for fingers. And that's the demon that will attack a young child most of the time. You hear the term cutters.
Almost like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, it looks just like that, as a matter of fact.
That kind of look.
Exactly. And this particular demon will get into like a young, usually most of the time girls, sometimes guys, but most of the time young girls, and they'll end up cutting their arms, and the term cutters, and this is a very familiar term for everybody these days that have young kids, and they'll actually cut themselves for no reason, and it's very hard to get them to stop this. I mean, they go to all kinds of therapies and things, and nothing seems to work. And I can,
yeah, it's like self-mutilation, isn't it?
Self-mutilation. I can get rid of that particular demon, the person stops it, and that demon looks a certain way. And then you'll have a demon that's an obsessive-compulsive demon, and that's a demon that is kind of like has a certain look. It looks like a string of little cut-out paper dolls, if you would, one demon right after the other. It tells you to smoke, 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 gamble, 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 drink, drink, eat, eat, anything you do obsessive and compulsively, you know, and I can get rid of that. And when I do, the difference is the person instantly gets over whatever they had. And so once I figured out how to do this, I really realized that this was the art of healing. You know, if you can get rid of someone's demon, of whatever it is, there's dark energies that attack your physical body that make you sick. I see people that have cancers or have different things, and they'll have something in a certain dark demon in their body, and you get rid of it, and many times you'll see that person heal up. And that's how it works. Depression is always dark energy and demons in your head, but that's how it works.
Have you ever run into somebody, Gary, where you can't get rid of these demons?
No.
Okay.
No, which is interesting. I can always get rid of the demon, no matter how bad the demon is, as long as the person wants rid of the demon, and usually they do. So I'm trying to think back of a time where I had somebody who when they walked away, they were not okay.
But there are some people who don't realize they have these demons in them, do they? I mean,
well, those people,
I've seen some people, Gary, who shapeshift. They go from being nice and docile to monsters, and right. I'm not so sure they know they're doing that.
Well, in my book, I call that the psycho demon. And so, and they
the
don't
psycho demon.
Yeah, well, you know, they a lot of times when they're doing it, they don't realize they're doing it, and so
they can't stop either, can they?
And they can't stop. I mean, I work on a lot of high profile cases. Like I worked on the Lacey Peterson case, and
right.
I worked on that case with her father called me. And it was really wild. One night I was going to bed, and I went to sleep, and I saw this shimmering light. And I thought, what is that? I knew I was getting a vision of something. And then I saw Lacey's face underneath the water. And I heard her cute little voice say, "You can help me, Gary. You can help my family." And this was even a little eerie for me. And I thought, well, I'm not going to run down. I'm not that type of psychic to go running down the family, But interestingly enough, the next few days, her father called me, and I channeled Lacey from the other side. And she told him, this was before they even found the bodies, where they would find the bodies. She said they would find the bodies in two pieces. She explained what happened, all in details, and everything turned out.
Did you tell the father that?
I told the father that. Yeah.
He must have reacted in shock, I guess.
In tears and shock.
But you don't hold back. I guess you have to tell him.
Right. And I had channeled her from the other side, and I'd also channeled his mother. And of course, it wasn't common knowledge. His mom was on the other side or anything. And his mom came back and said things only she would say. And he was for sure. I remember his mom came back and said, "I have 1,000 pairs of shoes, so you know it's me." And
can you get into someone's head, Gary, who is not dead, to try to figure out what he or she is thinking or planning?
I can see the energy behind it. It's not like mind reading, but you can tell if they have an evil intent by the demon that's around them.
It's not like sneaking into somebody's dream, right?
No, not exactly. Not exactly, but you can tell, if someone had a dream, I would be able to, and ask me about it, I could tell them, what was going on. But there's usually different dark energies that make things happen. Anything bad is done by a dark energy. I believe everything bad that happens on Earth comes from a demon.
Everything? Really?
Everything. Yeah, I believe human beings are God beings. I believe we're an extension of God's hand in this part of the universe, if you would, on this planet we call Earth. And I believe all human beings are really good at their core. But I believe there's a lot of add-ons and a lot of possession. And when people don't think they're possessed, they're kidding themselves, because everybody has demons, and everybody has demons on different days. I do, you do, we all do. And what happens is we have to meditate to learn how to clear these dimensions and clear these dark energies. And the more you learn how to clear them, and the way you clear them, you just simply get a spiritual gift from your angels and from God.
Why do people put their guards down and then have these demons either take over, possess them, or even just, get them to do something for even a moment?
Usually it has to do with one word. The word would be fear, or a derivative of fear, which is anger, a type of fear, guilt, a type of fear, any of those types of things, jealousy, you see. And there's different human emotions that are derived out of fear, and I found that everything goes pretty much back to fear. And so fear, one of my sayings is fear is demon fuel.
Let's get back to some of these dimensions. You talked about 10 dimensions. How do we know we're not talking about 10 possible new universes all attached to each other, like bubbles in a bathtub?
That's about what it's like. You're about right. It's kind of like that. It's like layers, and it's the whole universe of things going on in there. And many times when people are trying to fix themselves in this dimension, I mean, it's not unusual for people to go to therapy or talk to a priest or a best friend or someone trying to fix themselves, so to speak. But many times the problem is not in the first dimension. The problem could be in the the second dimension, mm-hmm. or the 10th dimension, or not in the 10th, but in the 9th or 8th or wherever. And so I can look at someone, since I can see all of those dimensions at one time, and I can fix that. And see, that's what, even as I work with a lot of gifted children that are diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and when they look at somebody, they see people like I do. They see people many times in a blurred haze. I was always able to do that from a child on. And where they're diagnosed with attention deficit, they're actually incredibly gifted children most of the time that could do everything I can do, and then some.
Gary, tell me a little bit of some of the work you've done with scientists. This is fascinating.
Well, you know, I work for a lot of different people, Wall Street type people and people like that. And I was working for this Wall Street fella, and he asked me to pick a project that was a humanitarian project for him, and I did. And as I picked this project, when I picked it, it was a list of about 30 projects, and I picked it. He said, "No, not that one." And I said, "You told me I got to pick." And he said, "Fair enough, okay." And so anyway, I picked this project maybe about, I guess, 10 years ago. And so he invested his money and his time and his energy, and he went into this project, and it was a piece of science having to do with the sense of smell. And then the project came to fruition. He said nothing was known about the sense of smell, basically. And but it he put his money, his time, bought a biotech company to make it work, and went to work. And the scientist that worked on the project was Richard Axel from Columbia. And of course, Richard is a Nobel scientist, and he won the Nobel Prize a couple of years ago on this project having to do with the sense of smell.
And now, so do you specialize in this? I mean, if you had to categorize your psychic ability into one key area, what area would that be?
I'm all over the place. See, I can sort of do all these different things. And so working with the scientist or you know, the CEO of the company would come to me and ask me different questions about the science. And then I would work with the scientist. And as I worked with the scientist, he would ask me different questions. And during the time I would be plugged in, say, to him, I would be able to see what he could see, and then maybe a little further, you see. Now, when I would unplug from him, I'm back to being an idiot. You know, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about the smell receptor of a fruit fly, you know. But I can certainly see when I'm plugged into anybody of a genius level, I can see what they see and see beyond what they see, which would, of course, help them out in their project, you see.
How did this all happen for you? How did you train yourself, or what happened?
I got really lucky, George, I think. I just simply would tell somebody something, and excuse me, and it would happen. I would just tell somebody something, and that would, whatever I said would just come true. And then more people would ask me questions, and so here we are today, you know.
Are you glad you have this ability, Gary? I mean, I know it's your livelihood, you're a psychic, but, I mean, sometimes there have got to be some frustrating moments, even for you.
You know, the frustrating moments are when I see things going all wrong with a whole category, especially with children. You know, I work with a lot of autistic children, and autistic children can see into all of the dimensions that I'm talking about, and then some. These kids are beyond, I mean, they are way out there, and they're able to get rid of dark energies that are attacking the whole planet. And every autistic child I've ever worked with is doing this. They're doing some job, if you would, a job for humanity or a job for God on such a big level that it's not even thinkable, you know, for us. And when I work with them for a little while and clear their energy down in their physical body, their more dominant self is able to slip into their physical body, and you'll have an autistic child that's never said a word in his or her life that'll start talking right then.
In your work, Secrets from God, you name demons. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I do name demons because I can see them, and you know, when you can see them, anytime you can see a demon, you can also annihilate it. That's who human beings are. We're gifted to, you know, God beings, an extension of God. And you can ask God for a spiritual gift, ask your angels for a spiritual gift, and you can get rid of the demon. But I call out different demons. I can see why someone, I can look at them and I can see the demons around each person and tell them what demon is around them. And they'll always go, oh, my God, yeah, I do that.
I want you to give us some of the names of these demons, Gary, when we come back. Plus, we'll get into some of your predictions. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to talk with psychic Gary Spivey. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We give you seven live Coast to Coast programs Monday through Sunday. And on Saturday night, Dan Skidlochitz is going to be the guest of Ian Punnett talking about the high seas, piracy. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our special guest for the next couple hours, Gary Spivey, psychic. We'll take calls next hour with you and with Gary. Okay, Gary, so if you give us the names of these demons, you're not going to open up a portal on us, are you? They're not going to come flooding through?
No. Information usually is the truth. And so even though you may hear something, if it sounds a little negative, it's really not, because the truth does set you free, I believe. And so, no, this is a good thing.
Now, did you give them names based on what you think they look like and their perception, or are these their names?
No, this is what they do. I just, you know, when I would look at a demon and I would see what it would do, then I would, you know, just name it to what it did. And they always look the same. And it was really interesting because in the research I've done, I went back to old biblical paintings and ancient artwork, and the same demon that I would be able to see now, I would find in paintings that were like, in biblical times.
So, okay, give us a few names just to give us an example here.
Well, there's there's a rage demon that appears very dark. And this demon I call him a rage demon or a psycho demon, and it makes people go into rages for no reason.
Like a road rager, right? Somebody driving in their car, they see someone, they go ballistic.
Exactly. And see, these things many times can work in little teams, and you'll have the exact right road rager freak out at the exact right person at the wrong time, and the next thing you know, somebody got shot.
Yeah.
See? And so that's what happens. And you'll have these things work in tandem together. And there's another demon. I call this the ping pong demon, because it'll get in a relationship between in a family, say a husband and a wife, or a father
and girlfriend, whatever.
Whatever, you know, business partners. And this demon, every time the person walks into the room, it's like the hair stands up on your back. And you'll feel this energy, you know, you're just, you know, really upset just because of their presence. And this demon I can get rid of. I actually have different husbands over a period of years that will call me up and say, hey, my wife's due for a tune-up, you know, and I'll have different wives that will call up and say, I'm going to send my husband in.
Yeah, he's due for the tune-up, right?
Yeah, because when you get rid of these demons, the person instantly changes. Just and it's instant, and so the proof's in what occurs, and so there can be demons, and I should have mentioned, I said 90% of the time it's a demon. The other 10%, sometimes it can be negative aliens, and this makes me sound a little crazy.
Like ET type, right?
Like ET type, and there's different aliens that can be incredibly aggressive, and cause people tremendous emotional pain, spiritual, physical pain. And see, everything starts out spiritual first and goes to the physical, the emotional, you know, side of things.
Do you subscribe to the thought that aliens are demons as well?
Yes, they can be our demon, but there's definitely a difference in them. Aliens exist in a different dimension than a demon. You have some aliens that are able to exist in multiple dimensions. The reptilian alien is able to exist in multiple dimensions. And this particular demon has really been giving Earth havoc, if you would, for the last, especially the last month or so. You'll have a time period where people will come to me and they're in tears and they're going, I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm flying apart from the inside out. Now I can get rid of that particular energy that's in them, and that would be a reptilian alien. And as I get rid of it, they instantly feel better that second, and then they're going, wow, I felt that. I'm really hot all over. You know, they're really warm. And then they change, and then they're better.
Have you ever had somebody come to you, Gary, and they are just so distraught with, because they've got this demon inside of them? They can't get rid of it. I mean, they're just they're ready to lose it. Has that ever happened?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of my assistants, escorted a lady, and I was working in San Diego recently doing a seminar, and I was seeing people in live sessions, and he came back and he said, you got to hurry up and get out there. This lady's about to lose it. She's crying and screaming, and she was screaming, and she was having physical pain, and the doctor couldn't figure out what her physical pain was. Her back and her neck was just killing her, and I went out. Her husband was with her, and this lady was just being severely attacked. It took me about 20 minutes, which is a while, to get all the demons out of her. And when I did, the lady was laughing and happy and normal. And her husband was crying because he couldn't believe this happened. Because he had taken her everywhere, every doctor, every situation, everything. And she was great. And the next day she came to my seminar and she was just happy as could be. She said, I can't believe it. You know?
Give us an example. Someone comes into you and they're possessed. They've got a
right.
demon. What do you do?
Well, first of all, I'm fun and I'm kind of funny and nasty.
I saw your picture on your website again, Gary. That can't be your real hair.
It is. It is most.
Come on.
I do shows in Vegas, and now
it's 22 inches tall and it's all white.
Oh, I know. Well, now I got a few hairs.
You do dye it.
Yeah. Yes, of course. And so I have white hair and all white clothes, and that's my look. And, you know, I do
that
shows.
Is not, honest to God, that is not, that's not a wig?
No, that's actually hair. It's my hair and a few hair extensions when I'm doing shows in Vegas because my hair is bigger.
Right. No, I understand. But that's you.
That's me, yeah. And I do shows right on the Strip. You'll see me over there a lot, and you'll see my big picture of it. When I work with people, usually when they come in, I just explain to them. I say, you know, I see different dark energies and things that are on you. And usually when I tell them what I see, they'll go, oh, my God, that makes total sense. In other words, like whatever it is. I look at some people, and it's not unusual these days. A lot of people have eating disorders. And I can look at a person, and in the physical dimension, they look normal. But as I look at them, I will actually see eyeballs looking back at me from their stomach. As eerie as that sounds. And I'll tell the person, I'll say, you have an eating disorder. Usually more women have eating disorders than men. And I read a lot of people in Hollywood, and so a lot of Hollywood types have, you know, this problem. And whether anorexic or bulimic, or they overeat. And so as I look at this, I get rid of it, and they totally change, and they're back to normal again.
Let's talk about some of your psychic predictions, what you see in the future. Let's take it first to 2012. What do you see?
Well, the first thing I had, probably the first accounting I had to do with 2012, it was back in the 80s, and I was on one of my first radio shows I ever did. And they asked the question, when's the end of the world coming? And I go, I don't know. It feels like it's about 2012. And that was my answer. And then.
What do you mean by end of the world?
Well, you know, later, of course, later I examined that and a lot. And because it bugged me because I could see it. And I call too many things that have really occurred to ignore it. And as I looked at it and tried to figure it out, here's what I see. I see in 2012, this is a time where you got to really kind of understand what's God's plan for Earth. Well, I can't imagine he would create all this great, beautiful stuff to blow it up. I mean, I can't imagine that. And so when I talk to God, this is like a beautiful garden planet. And it's very, very important that it progresses in a light, godly way and not a demonic way. And there's a big battle going on over this. In other words, like Earth is sort of a fringe neighborhood, and there are demons here. And so the biggest demon trick is that people don't believe there are demons, because demons do exist. And so God is doing, I believe, everything he can do from his side, you know, from heaven down to try to create a bright light planet for us to live on. And it's really important that we do more from here. And then I believe we'll probably have some sort of dimensional shift about that time where everybody becomes a lot more, if you would, psychic or more spiritual. And I think everybody's going to be able to see in dimensions and see spirits, and I think everybody will be able to see God or talk to their loved ones on the other side. I mean, why can I do it, and why can other people not, you know?
How in the heck did the Mayans know this, to come up with this date?
The Mayans, I was drugged. Well, here's how I think they knew. Here's how I know they knew. I'm working on a new book that includes, you know, about half the book is about the Mayans. And it's the Mayans worked, and they could see everything I could see, and then some. And I ended up in down in Tulum, and I walked in through the gates, and as I did, I saw the Mayan warriors standing around everywhere. And one of my assistants was with me, and he could see just like I can. And he looked at me and was freaking out and saying, "Can you see them?" And I was playing a little game with him, and I was like, what are you talking about, to see how much he would tell me. He goes, "You can't see them?" I said, "Oh, you mean the Mayan warriors standing on top of the pyramids here?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, and he was freaked out. Anyway, which opened up one of the most wonderful, if you would, portals of knowledge, because they wanted to teach me all their secrets so I could teach them now. And so they started telling me about all the things that they could do back in the day. And they had all these portals opened up between their civilization and heaven. The different pyramids was a portal up to heaven. And they were explaining to me how to turn them back on again. And they said, even though, you know, the architecture is in physical decay, you know, they explained to me that the spiritual architecture was totally intact, and they still would work. And so as I did this, I probably learned more than I knew. And I was able to absorb this knowledge in just a very short period of time. And it had to do with the art of healing. And they showed me how to do these different things, and they gave me these different spiritual gifts of healing. I immediately went back to my hotel, and I started working on my mother, who had Alzheimer's, right? And okay. I worked on my mom, and I worked on my friend's dog, of all things. My sister called me within a few days, and from North Carolina, and said, "You know, something's happened to Mom. She's back to normal, and she's doing fine." And that was a couple of years ago.
How about the dog?
The dog had a crushed vertebrae in his neck and was paralyzed from the neck down, and it was a Doberman. And the dog got up and started walking again and acting just like normal, and everything was fine. And the doctor that was working on the dog, that had operated on the dog, said, "This can't be happening. This can't occur, because I operated on the dog, and this dog was paralyzed for life." You know, and the dog just started running around and was normal. And this happened, you know, hours after I got these particular gifts from the Mayan ruins and from the if you would, the warriors there. And it was just amazing. And so I started realizing there's all these ancient civilizations, and, you know, with spiritually gifted people, we can go back and talk to those people. You know, time is not an issue, whether it's in the future or in the past. And so I've been just researching that and figuring out how to open up these portals between earth and heaven. And that's what God wants us to do between now and 2012. And that's what we all have to do. And everybody can do that by meditating. And that's what my book teaches, is how to do that, how to meditate, and how to get rid of the blocks between your head and heaven and all the dimensions, so you can allow that light in, that healing energy in. And see, you can feel it now. Feel how your head got warm, George. Can you feel that?
That's because I have a headset on me.
Oh, is it? Okay, because I felt light going down through your head as I was talking right then. See, I'm an empath, and I'll feel...
Well, there is a light over my head. There's no doubt about that. I mean, a huge one, as a matter of fact.
Well, I felt all this heat going down. That's what I could just feel it. I don't know if you could feel it, but anyway, I'm able to just feel...
Actually, they have the air conditioning up too high.
But I'm able to just feel energy, and... everybody is, if they just notice. They got to notice these little bitty things, and there'll be a little bit of a heat sensation that will happen, or a tingle that'll happen. You'll feel little tingles, and you'll feel a little warm. and when the light goes through you. And so, but that's what we got to do. We got to turn the lights on. And if we do, then I think 2012 we'll just be able to go by it like there's no problem, you know, and we'll go through these dimensional shifts to where we have more of a heaven on earth, if you would.
Do you see any earth catastrophes, calamities that way?
I do. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, which is let more light in, I think that it could go all the way to the point of where there is no earth. I mean, I do believe that that could happen, but I want to believe the other way, and that's that this will be a bright enough planet to where we love each other and we meditate, allow God's energy in, you know, and I'd rather go in that direction, but it could go in either direction. The bad direction is there is no earth.
Can 100 people who are practicing, you know, being demonic, can they overtake 100 people who are being good and trying to send out positive energy, or do they balance each other?
Great question. You could have 100 evil people and one person that is light, gifted with light, and the gifted light person will win every time.
Wow.
Every time. Light is always over dark.
So someone like you who has these abilities, you could fight off a lot of evil all by yourself.
It's not even thinkable how much one gifted person can do. One gifted child, one gifted person, a person like me. Every day I clear the whole planet. Every day, and I teach, my meditation teaches, clear your own energy first. Then you want to clear your house. You want to clear your town. Get rid of the darkness. And then you want to clear the whole world.
You're going to have to work you overtime, though, Gary. This is a strange planet.
It's very much a strange planet. But, you know, keep in mind, I do shows on the Strip in Vegas. And so Vegas is really Sin City. I mean, and so you'll have a lot of darkness.
Oh, well, now, what do you mean you do? You walk up and down the sidewalk, or are you
no,
in a hotel?
No, I do shows in the casinos.
You're the cooler, aren't you?
Kinda.
Yeah, you walk up to people who are winning blackjack and then they lose.
No, it's kidding. Not like that.
It's the other way around, maybe.
Well, you know, no, I can't gamble. I try, but I never win. I never win. But when I do shows in Vegas, I do shows in some of the, you know, showrooms in Vegas, Planet Hollywood, and different ones. And what happens is I have you know, large audiences, and no matter how dark the audience is, within a few minutes, it's a very bright audience, and there's just tons of light in the room.
What do most of the folks want to know? You know, if there is a universal question or two, what do they want to know from you?
People want to know about their soulmate. I think people always, you know, people kind of ask questions like that.
And jobs, too, right?
And pay, and their money, and their economy, and their soulmate. Absolutely.
And sometimes, is the job more important than the soulmate?
It absolutely is. Absolutely is. And especially if it's a man, because he associates his job with having a soulmate. You know, men are really funny about their jobs. And so it's very important to have, you know, their career that defines who they are. But women are usually more about the soulmate, and then health. Somebody's physical health would be probably third, and probably fourth would be their energy. These days, they want to know what's going on with my energy. Can you clear my energy? Do I have demons? Can you help me get closer in touch with my angels? And see, when I get rid of people's demons, what happens is then they're automatically closer in touch with their angels, and so their angels come rushing in, and it sort of works like that.
Gary, I got to tell you, I thought you were going to throw a Las Vegas curveball at me when you were talking about trying to help your mother and the dog, and then your sister called and said, "I have to tell you about Mom." I thought you were going to. She was going to say, "Mom is barking," and you did some experiment went awry or something.
No. When I do with doing the well, you know, people go, "Well, what do you with being a healer or being a spiritual person?" You know, anywhere I can reach masses of people and I can talk to people and help them, that's what I'm always about.
Gary, give out your website, would you?
Yeah, it's spivey.com, S-P-I-V-E-Y.com, or either you can call me for a private reading. I do those all the time, and that's 1-800-827-GARY, 1-800-827-GARY, which is 4279. And I'm doing a spiritual retreat June 17th at my place in North Carolina.
I'm going to keep you for another hour, Gary. We're going to take phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.